of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You know, there's like a list. I don't have an official list, but in my head I have a list of the readings that people have the most adverse reaction to when they're read from the scripture. And I don't know where the Abraham Isaac story is in the top five of that list, where people say, why? Why? What in the world is that story about? So let's talk about that story. I think it would be puzzling if we just left it there and didn't do anything with it. Let's see if we can maybe offer some clarity. You tell me at the end of it if you're in a better place with it than not. To start with, we have to put ourselves in Abraham's place and time, right? When Abraham lived, human sacrifice happened in religion. Now, we don't endorse that. Scripture doesn't endorse that. But it's true. It happened. We know that. We know that not just from the Bible. We know that from archaeology. We know that from historians. We know that. Human sacrifice happened in religion. So, it's kind of like when we think about our founding fathers. We think about the time that they lived in. It was very different. The role of women was very different in their mind. The role of race was very different in their mind, right? We understand it was a different time. We don't endorse those things, but we understand it was a different time. Same with Abraham. When he lived, religion had human sacrifice. Now, let's not to say it happened every week, everywhere. But it was not uncommon in any Mideast culture to have an understanding of this. And you have to remember, when Abraham lived, there wasn't a written Bible. There wasn't a Jewish history. Abraham starts Jewish history. He's chapter one. So he's living it. And this God that he's praying to and communicating with is giving him bits and pieces of information about himself. So when Abraham hears this question, it's not really a question, command, take Isaac, go up the mountain. Abraham doesn't really, we don't hear in the story, Abraham giving this grand protest. That's not to say it probably didn't hurt him deeply. But Abraham, remember, he doesn't have a Bible, he doesn't have this great history, he's starting it. He's probably thinking, oh, this God is just like all the others. This God's like every other God. Human sacrifice. So Abraham goes and he takes Isaac. You know, there was like a comic I saw one time about this story. And it was Abraham and Isaac walking down the mountain, and Isaac was just going, "So you want to tell me what that was all about?" You know, I think it took a few years before Abraham said, "Son, let's go fishing," and Isaac was ready to go. The untold story of this is Isaac's PTSD from this moment. But Abraham, we don't hear a lot of protest. He does it. He brings Isaac and takes him up the mountain. Now, the story goes for maximum drama, as Abraham raises his hand, the angel grabs it and says, No, Abraham, now I know you are faithful. There's nothing you wouldn't withhold from God. But don't harm the boy. Don't harm the boy. So, we would think, well, why? Why go through all that? So remember, Abraham is chapter one of this story, of this God that's distinguishing himself and revealing himself to be different from these other gods around him that people worship. And this story becomes a formative story, a pivotal story for the Jewish people. Human sacrifice is abhorred in their tradition. This is part of the reason why. This might not make sense to you in 2017 terms, but this is a story, a formative story from the founder of the Jewish faith, of this is not the type of God we serve. We serve a God who wants us to give him our hearts, but does not demand this type of bloodshed from us. And, you know, we can understand that because Judaism throughout, from Abraham on, did not have any type of human sacrifice in it. And the times that it did The times that it did were times of great anger from the prophets. They were dabbling with pagan religions, and sometimes the Israelites did, because the other religions did. And the prophets would be very angry about it. How could you do that? How could you do that? How could you do that with human life? So, historically, this is a story imprinted upon Abraham and is part of the DNA of the Jewish religion, that they're going to be different from the religions around them regarding how human life is treated in sacrifice. Now, you might say, why didn't God just tell them? Couldn't God just say, don't do it? Right? So, yes, but I will tell you right now, don't lie. Don't lie. Lying is bad. And because I told you that, no one's ever told you that before, I'm sure, but because I'm the first person to tell you that, now from this day forward, you will all leave this church and you will never bend the truth. Because I told you. Or maybe some of you have history and experiences and stories in your life of when you lied to someone and they were hurt deeply, or when someone you love lied to you and it hurt you deeply. And maybe that might have a stronger effect on you than me telling you don't lie. That's how human beings are. The experience kind of burns an image in our hearts that just me telling you or just a command doesn't. This is an experiential story burned on the founder of the religion, that this is not the type of God we serve. So, someone asked me this morning, well, what about Jesus? Different story. It's not a cop-out. When we're talking about Abraham and Isaac and the type of human sacrifice, it was an innocent person, usually too young or too weak in a situation, you know, economically or culturally, to stand up for themselves, and were taken and were offered. When we look at the story of Jesus, Jesus is a man, he's in his maturity. Jesus says, I lay down my life of my own accord. Jesus is offering himself as a substitute. He's not being sacrificed. So there is a difference. Someone asked me that, and I just want to make clear about that. So, what does that all do with us today? Great. That's great for the Jewish people and the history of their religion and human sacrifice not being a part of it, but what are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to walk away with anything from this story? Again, let's put ourselves in Abraham's position. You cannot understate this, what I'm about to say. To Abraham, Isaac is everything. He's everything. He's the child of the promise that Abraham waited and prayed and longed for decades. He's Abraham's inheritance. He's Abraham's legacy. He's Abraham's lineage. He's Abraham's future. He's the future leader of the tribe of people that Abraham is leading. Isaac is everything. It's more than just a child. I mean, if we could even say that, you know how much we love our children. But it's more than that. He's everything to Abraham. He's everything Abraham hopes for. He's everything Abraham dreams of. He's every dream, every good thing he hopes for the future is in Isaac. For not only for himself, but for the people and the promises God made to him. Isaac is everything. And for Abraham to be willing to let go of Isaac, he has to be willing to let go of all those hopes and dreams for the future. And that is hard. I think, speaking for myself, it's really comforting sometimes to give God our past. Because all of us probably have things in our past that we're not proud of. And the mercy of God covering those things, freeing us from those things, is really good news. But to give God the future, that thing that we can still shape and mold and make it the way we want, to maybe give up our hopes and dreams for something else that God might have in store, is hard. It's hard. I'm sure whatever the Harvard Business School of his time was, Abraham was filling out Isaac's application to it. He had a plan for that kid. Big plans. It's hard to give God the future. It's hard to give up our dream of what life might be like to let God let it be something else. And to take Isaac up that mountain, Abraham had to be willing to do that. Let me share a story from my life. We had a friend of the family who had a son. And he was about 16 or 17. Now, this friend did not go to church. He was raised in church, but he did not go to church. Neither did his wife. But his son had started going with friends of his through a youth group and started attending church. And his son was about 16, 17, and was starting having these crises of what do I do with the rest of my life, like, you know, you do when you're in high school and you think you have to make that decision immediately. And he was saying, all I hear when I try to pray about it is that God wants me to be a missionary. That's the only thing I hear. So his dad called me. This was our conversation. He said, hey, John, I need a favor because, you know, so-and-so respects you. He'll listen to you. He knows, you know your Bible and stuff. Could you talk to him about his future? I said, sure, what's the problem? Well, he's been praying and he thinks God wants him to be a missionary. Oh, okay, well, what's the problem? Well, he's going to be a lawyer. Well, how do you know? He said, well, that's what he's wanted to be since he was young. That's what he's wanted to be since he was young? Yes, we've talked about it. He's going to be a lawyer. Okay, so what do you want me to tell him? I want you to tell him that he can serve God faithfully and still be a lawyer. He said, well, I believe that, but I don't know if that's true for your son, if he's really feeling like God's telling him to be a missionary. He said, no, God's not telling him to be a missionary. God's telling him to be a lawyer. I know he is. Okay, so you want me to tell your son that God's telling him to be a lawyer? When he's praying and he's hearing God say, be a missionary. He said, yes, that's what I want you to tell him. I can't tell him that. Why not? Because there's a chance he might be being called to be a missionary. Can you believe that? No, because God wants you to be a lawyer. Five more minutes of this, just the same conversation over and over. He said, well, you're obviously no help here, but thanks anyways. So he hung up the phone. Would you know that he lasted about three semesters in college before dropping out because he didn't want to be a lawyer? Shocking. That was shocking news to me. But it was so hard for that person to let go of his dream for his child. Right? We all have dreams for ourselves, for our children, for our grandchildren, for the people that come after us, and it's so hard to let them go. And what God asked Abraham to do when he walked up that mountain with Isaac is to just let it go and trust me. Let it go and trust me. And that is hard. That's hard. So what this story might mean for us, we're not people who believe in human sacrifice or things like that. It doesn't have that type of impact for us. But I think we are people who can relate to how hard it is to let go of those hopes and dreams that we want to build for our future and to be open to what God may have for us. Now, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't plan, don't save for your retirement, don't have life insurance. We're not talking about that. But are we flexible enough that God could move us? Could open up a new path, give us a new direction. Are we flexible enough for that? Or are we so rigid that we're saying to ourselves, no, God, we're going to be a lawyer, as my friend did, right? There's no deviation. So for this story, I would leave you with that question. Are we willing to give God our future, too? Are we willing to offer it up to him and let him maybe lead us on a different path than we thought we would ever be on? Are we willing to let it look a little different than we planned? Are we willing to let our hopes and dreams that we made for ourselves be substituted with the plans that God has for us? I would hope our answer would be yes, but knowing ourselves, it's hard. It's hard. Because the future is still something we can control. And can we give that up? So, as you ponder this story, I hope you're a little more comfortable with it and what it meant for the people of Israel, and just as challenging as maybe we thought it was in a different way as we leave with that question, are we willing to let God have our future too? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.